Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you for joining us today. This conference will be focused on presenting Grupo Argos' financial results for the third quarter of 2025. With us are Jorge Mario Velázquez, Alejandro Piedrahíta, Rafael Olivella, and the executive teams from Odinsa, the real estate business, and Pactiv. Please note that all quarterly information, along with the presentation, we will follow during the call. It is available on our website under the financial information section and then reports. Additionally, this earnings call is being streamed via an X space. It's presenting certain inconvenience, but we hope that it can work during the call. I invite you to advance to slide number three of the presentation to begin the meeting. Now I will turn the floor over to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos.
Thank you, Carolina, and good morning to all. I'd like to express gratitude for joining us today. On behalf of the investors and shareholders who are with us today, at the close of the quarter, third quarter of the year, our businesses demonstrated a solid momentum, reflected in the strong figures we will be sharing below. Before we address those, however, we would like to highlight a milestone that materialized during the past quarter: the successful completion of the spin-off project in July. Grupo Argos has now entered a new phase focused 100% on infrastructure and construction materials, having fulfilled all premises set when presenting this transaction to the market. The cross-holdings between Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos were efficiently and orderly concluded. An equitable and transparent treatment was guaranteed for all the shareholders, and each company will deepen its specialization and execute its strategy within its respective sector. Shareholder value creation is the virtuous cycle of creation, of value creation driven by the simplification of the corporate structure, has been reflected in the valuation of the shareholders' portfolio since the completion of the spin-off. To compare the values of Grupo Argos shares post-spin-off, two components must be considered: the price of the company's ordinary and preferred shares of the BVC and the 0.23 Grupo Sura shares received by the shareholders for each title held prior to the transaction. Combining both values, as of November 13, ordinary shares were traded at 30,615 and preferred shares to 23,774 pesos, which represents a 23% increase for ordinary shares and a 28% increase for preferred shares compared to the last trading day prior to the spin-off, the highest historical level for the ordinary shares. This increase has led to a shareholder portfolio valuation of over 3 trillion Colombian pesos above the last pre-spin-off trading day. Year to date, the equivalent share price for both classes has grown by 50% approximately. Thanks to the portfolio simplification, corporate milestones since 2023, such as the combination of Argos USA with Summit Materials and its subsequent monetization, value realization initiatives like the share buybacks, and the strong operational performance of our businesses, the price of Grupo Argos' ordinary and preferred shares have more than tripled over the past 2 years. Nonetheless, the company continues to implement measures to further reveal value in its share price, as even considering recent valuation, a gap remains between the value of our infrastructure portfolio and Grupo Argos' market share price. 2 years ago, The company closed the period with an infrastructure portfolio valued at 10,660 Colombian pesos per share. This arbitrage value results from the sum of listed investments such as Cementos Argos and Celsia, and the book value of unlisted assets such as Odinza in our real estate portfolio. It is worth noting the valuation of these unlisted investments. For Odinza, its private equity fund investment has appreciated by over 200 billion Colombian pesos this year, mainly driven by advances in the second stage of the Oriente Tunnel. However, the third-party valuation does not incorporate the potential of a pipeline exceeding 20 trillion Colombian pesos that the company is developing. Regarding the NPU, the book value of our land bank amounts to 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos, supported by the present value of a business plan conducted by Colliers for these plots. Over the last 10 years, this business has generated approximately $430 million in cash for the holding and actively seeks new uses to maximize the value of this private land portfolio in Barranquilla and in its metropolitan area. I'm moving on to the next picture. Grupo Argos shareholders see the value of infrastructure and construction material assets doubled to 22,174 Colombian pesos per share, now with a deeper focus enabling greater future growth. Yet, the ordinary share trades at 17,500 Colombian pesos and the preferred at around 13,000 Colombian pesos per share. Significant discounts to arbitrage value for both classes. We will continue working to close these gaps between value and price, benefiting all shareholders while focusing on the profitability and growth of our portfolio. In that sense, I invite you to turn to slide number five, which summarizes the main milestones achieved during the quarter in executing the company's business plan and those of its subsidiaries. On November 7, Cementos Argos successfully completed a share buyback from approximately 900 billion Colombian pesos at a fixed price of 13,659 Colombian pesos per share, acquiring 65.6 million shares, equivalent to 5% of the shares outstanding. This mechanism efficiently distributes the economic benefits derived from the disbursement in subject materials among all shareholders. Notably, this distribution represented less than 10% of Cementos Argos' cash position, thus not compromising its solid financial standing or the capital deployment plan linked to the U.S. disinvestment. Grupo Argos participated in this buyback and received cash proceeds for 493 billion Colombian pesos, which will be used to reduce net debt, granting greater financial flexibility to continue executing its strategy. Net debt at year-end in 2025 is projected to be around 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, with a net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio of 0.8 times. Aligned with the profitable growth strategy, Cementos Argos keeps on strengthening its export platform towards the United States. It's an organic growth, which it pretends to grow its EBITDA by 50% when this operation stabilizes, capturing synergies with this privileged position in the Caribbean, Colombian, and Central America. It's also good to mention that this week we discharged the first testing load of 40,000 tons in a port of the American coasts. Likewise, Celsia announced the creation of Atera, an energy efficiency company in association with Brookfield, which designs, finances, installs, and operates solutions for industries such as solar generation on-site and efficient generation, compressed air pumping, and thermal district. It's born with more than 500 clients and with an investment plan that's over $500 million for 2030, and it contributes to reduce Celsia's net debt close to 400 billion Colombian pesos, product of paying cash made by Brookfield. Parallelly, during the quarter, Celsia advanced in the development of its renewable portfolio for more than 1.2 billion. Just remember that the company under asset management figure includes the wind park of Carabilí of 218 MW currently under construction with an advancement close to 50% of the work, and that will be operational for 2026. The hydroelectric central in Hidromanta with 20 MW. The first steps in its objective of reaching 1.2 GW of renewable energy in that country from here to 2028. Additionally, during the quarter, Odinsa announced the creation of Odinsa Aguas. It's an investment infrastructure platform focused on hydraulic energy that focuses its operations in roads and airports, and it's aligned with its diversification strategy, replicating its concessions model within that sector. As first step, Odinsa signed a purchase sale agreement to acquire TIGSA, a company that has more than 40 years of experience in the design, construction, operation, and maintenance of treatment plants and potabilization in Mexico. In this line is that Grupo Argos will keep on working, focusing on infrastructure, what we better know how to do, generating and transferring attractive returns and incremental for the shareholders of the company while supporting and developing the regional development in areas that we believe that will keep showing growing demand in the upcoming decades. Before going into the consolidated and separated results of the quarter, we're going to be presenting a recount of the main impacts of the close of the efficient project of financial results of the company. As a result of the materialization of the investment that Grupo Argos kept for decades within Grupo Sura, this quarter we recorded a profit of 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos and 3.2 trillion Colombian pesos in the separated states. This authority incorporates, within other things, expenses for 48 billion Colombian pesos associated to the transaction that, even though it's reflected in the financial results, in the admin costs as well as land plot taxes and others associated to urban development, it's important to differentiate this from the requiring expenses of the holding, which are close to 80 billion Colombian pesos at the end of this year. From another side, after the transaction, being the shareholders that directly own a block that's close to 10.8 billion Colombian pesos of Sura shares that the company held, the assets and the equity in both consolidated and separate reduce proportionally. It's also worth to remember that the remnant portfolio of Grupo Argos is divided in a lower number of shares, product of the operation. Now, I want to invite you to move on to slide number seven before we speak about the state of results. It's important to speak about the non-recurring effects associated to those The spin-offs already discussed that have impacted the organization's performance year to date, as well as the necessary adjustments for 2024 to ensure comparability and enable analysis of variations in our business's operating results. Key adjustments to consolidate financial statements in 2025 include, first, a profit of 2 trillion Colombian pesos for the sales of the shares of Cementos Argos held in Summit Materials realized in February. During the second and third quarters of 2025, Cementos Argos recorded, as we mentioned in a previous call, a non-recurring accounting impairment and operational optimization costs of 74 billion Colombian pesos in Puerto Rico, which, from another side, we recorded incomes for 454 billion Colombian pesos for Celsia for the transaction leading to the creation of Atera. The previously mentioned profit of 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos from the spin-off closure. It's also important to remember the non-recurring operations that influence the same period of 2024. During the first quarter last year, 2024, the company recorded a net profit of 5.3 Colombian pesos, product of the combinations of Argos USA and Summit Materials assets. This was reflected in 2024. In addition, we recorded a profit that came from the exchange of shares of Grupo Nutresen that reached 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos. And finally, the reclassification of the participation method of Grupo Sura as a discontinuous operation due to the spin-off project, which meant for that result to appear under the line of the financial results for that period. If all of the described operations are non-recurring and need to be considered in order to analyze the operational results, I want to mention that these are part of this holding's core that continuously wants to mobilize the value of its portfolio in benefit of its shareholders with those types of operations, and besides this, represent the tangible and real materialization of an economic value that it's not always seen within the financial results of this period while we kept these investments. This has been more than clear in the profits that have been generated by the company in the last 2 years. In 2024 and in 2025, the company has consolidated a net profit of 11.7 trillion Colombian pesos, which reflects the capacities that the Grupo Argos has in terms of value generation. Our upcoming analysis is focused on the returns of this recurring profits of our businesses, which is the most loyal performance indicator, instead of the consolidated figures without adjustments that have been affected by non-operational effects. At the same time, we need to emphasize that the last year's transactions evidence once again the materialization of successful investments in the United States. Cementos Argos consolidated as the largest Colombian investor in that country, and this invested a mature platform in positive multiples, receiving 4.1 billion dollars, and we also led a cross participation with Grupo Ursura and Grupo Nutresa, materializing a decade's investment, which allowed the materialization development of the company, in which this investment was executed, guaranteeing an equitable treatment and generating value for Grupo Argos and its shareholders that once again received close from 10.8 trillion Colombian pesos for the Grupo Sura titles. Bearing this in mind, I want to invite you to look at the consolidated results. In consolidated results, year-to-date, Grupo Vargas reported revenues of 8.9 trillion Colombian pesos, a 2% decrease compared to the same period of 2024, and EBITDA of 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos, up 11% year-over-year, and reaching an EBITDA margin of 26%, 300 basis points above 2024. Simultaneously, a profit of 4.1 trillion Colombian pesos and a net profit attributable to controlling shareholders of 2.6 trillion Colombian pesos. Notably, consolidated net financial expenses decreased 27% year-after-year, which, together with the strong operational performance of our businesses, led to a 122% year-over-year increase in profit before taxes, excluding discontinued operations, reaching 1 trillion Colombian pesos. Furthermore, after making the aforementioned pro forma adjustments, EBITDA grew 13%. Consolidated net profit was 939 billion Colombian pesos, gross up to 197%, and the net profit attributable to controlling shareholders rose to 402 billion Colombian pesos, showing a growth of 363%, higher than the adjusted result for the same quarter last year. These positive results are mainly explained by a better operational dynamic in the energy business, contrasting with 2024. Remember that sales here was affected by low hydrology due to El Niño phenomenon. Additionally, growth in the concession segment, driven by the private equity fund managed by Odinsa, and increased profitability in the recurring operations of these construction material businesses. In line with the company's efforts over the recent quarters, our highlight, all these effects will be detailed further below. All these effects will be approached in the upcoming slides. Regarding standalone financial statements detailed on slide 9, the company reported revenues of 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos, which is an EBITDA of 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, with a net profit of 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos, and a historic figure for the company, including the profit of 3.2 trillion Colombian pesos corresponding to the spin-off closure. This standalone profit equates to over 6,100 Colombian pesos per Grupo Vargas share and represents a 53% increase compared to the 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos result in 2024, which already includes the profits from the combination of Argos USA and Asabe Materials, a high standing point. Similarly, after adjusting and observing only results from our recurring operation, standalone pro forma revenues accumulated through third quarter were 806 billion Colombian pesos, up to a 9% growth year-after-year. EBITDA was 604 billion Colombian pesos, up to 189%, and the net profit was 428 billion Colombian pesos, 304% higher than the pro forma results for the same quarter last year. In summary, while the year presents distortions from extraordinary transactions, realizing profits from the actively managed investments over several years, when isolating the infrastructure business's operating results, these are solid and show growth compared to comparable 2024 figures. Now, I want to invite you to move on to look at the results of our businesses found on slide number 14 in order to analyze the construction material segment of Cementos Argos. Cementos Argos is decisively advancing its strategy to re-enter the U.S. market with the consolidation of its aggregates platform. During the quarter, it completed preparations for a trial shipment in the fourth quarter and obtained quality results, maintaining the DOT certification process at destination. Today, the unloading is coming to an end. This platform will integrate competitive reserves, standardized operations, and long-term port contracts, enabling an efficient maritime corridor with predictable costs and reliable delivery times. In a market that requires quality aggregate distribution in certain states and localities that Argos knows due to the presence of more than 20 years in that country. Additionally, the successful completion of the buyback of 65.6 million shares, equivalent to 5% of shares outstanding, reflects the commitment to reveal and distribute value to all shareholders. Notably, this distribution represents less than 10% of Cementos Argos cash reserves, thus not compromising its solid financial position nor the capital deployment plan linked to the U.S. disinvestment. For Grupo Argos, as the main shareholders of Cementos Argos, reinvestment of these resources is fundamental as they represent the most valuable asset managed by the holding. Therefore, we have worked exhaustively with management and the board of directors to ensure optimal capital allocation in construction materials in a deliberate process. On the other hand, the company continues to report financial results focused on the profitability of its operations. Year-to-date revenues reached 3.9 trillion Colombian pesos and EBITDA 928 billion Colombian pesos with a margin of 24%. Moving on to the results of third quarter, Cementos Argos reported revenues for 1.37 trillion Colombian pesos and EBITDA of 361 billion Colombian pesos with a margin of 26%, an expansion over 300 basis points compared to 2024, thanks to a consistent pricing strategy and disciplined execution seeking efficiencies. By region, the balance is positive. In Colombia, the gray cement market showed clear signs of recovery in the third quarter, accumulating close to 9.4 million tons by the end of September, nearly 4% more than last year, reversing the downward trend. This recovery was mainly driven by the strong performance of the retail segment, which accumulated growth of 10.5% year-to-date. Likewise, housing sales, as we previously mentioned, maintained positive momentum, increasing 25% year-over-year, supporting expectations of continuity in the local market medium term. We also need to mention that for the fourth consecutive quarter, the behavior of the cement volume in Colombia is in an upward trend compared with the previous year. With this, the Colombian region achieved revenues of 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos and EBITDA of 586 billion Colombian pesos, representing above comparable 2024 with a margin of 28%. This performance reflects a consistent focus on efficiencies and lays the groundwork to capitalize on the market recovery. In Central America, the quarter results were of $64 million with an EBITDA of $22 million and a robust margin of 35%. In the Caribbean, revenues for the quarter summed at $70 million, 5% more than 2024, and the EBITDA reached $15 million with a margin of 21%, thanks to the efficiency during all the value chain. With this operational discipline and with a solid financial position, We are well prepared to keep on capturing opportunities in key markets where we have presence. The different geographies that the company covers in the Caribbean makes its perspectives benefited from certain improvements on the growth rate of the region towards the future. Under that sense, we see with optimism that Venezuela would recover and would drive cement demand in our region. We also need to mention that under the responsibility we have with our shareholders, we keep on advancing in the legal process held against Venezuela with the trust that the law that supports all the alternatives and mechanisms that will allow to achieve the fair compensation to the confiscation of our assets in that country coming from an inappropriate process done in 2006 and that has not yet been paid. Now, I want to invite you to move on to look at the results of the energy business found on slide 17. During the quarter, Celse continued to capitalize on the normalization of hydrology with more efficient and profitable generation operations, supported by the greater hydro contribution and lower thermal requirements. Year to date, EBITDA was 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos, up to 14% growth, and the EBITDA margin was 32%. As previously mentioned, Atera commenced operations and is advancing its deployment as an industrial energy efficiency vehicle, which also optimizes Celse's structure. With the launch of this company, Celse's asset management business reaches AUMs of 1.5 billion Colombian pesos. C2Energy, its investment platform, developing and constructing solar farms over 8 megas, closed the quarter with 355 megawatts of power in operation, generating 372 megawatts year to date, 12% more than 2024. This complemented by a pipeline of 224 megawatts of power currently under construction and 346 megawatts of power ready to build, which are being deployed. In Peru, as previously mentioned, Celse is advancing in the construction of the Carabel wind farm, which has begun turbine assembly and has reached 50% completion. Commercial operation is projected for the last quarter of 2026. Additionally, during the third quarter, Celse launched within the country Celaris, a platform for marketing 100% non-conventional renewable energy aimed at the corporate segment. This initiative, part of the local investment vehicle, seeks to monetize the generation from its plant and specially serve industrial clients. At period end, the company's consolidated net debt was of 5.2 trillion Colombian pesos, with a net debt to EBITDA ratio of 3.1 times. During the period, 720 billion Colombian pesos in cash were received. The realization of the receivable from the asset sale in Central America in 2023 for $50 million, distributions from investments in Peru of 142 billion Colombian pesos, and resources from the creation of Atera of 400 billion Colombian pesos. This cash was used to meet obligations with local banks of 370 billion Colombian pesos, so the reduction in financial expenses will be more evident in coming quarters. Additional actions will contribute 640 billion Colombian pesos to the deleveraging process by year end. With this ongoing initiative, Celse projects net debt below 400 billion Colombian pesos by the first half of 2026, a reduction of 1.5 trillion Colombian pesos compared to December 2024. Within the financial front, in terms of consolidated results for the quarter, this represented 1.8 trillion, enabling with a drop of 8%, explained, as I mentioned, due to the high compared to comparison base that we had in 2024, when higher thermal sales coming from the El Niño phenomenon and growth of revenues, but this had a higher cost given that this was thermal generation. Nevertheless, with water generation coming back to normal climate conditions, EBITDA reached 382 billion Colombian pesos, and the margin was almost 5 percentage points higher than the previous years. Now let's move on to look at the Odinsa results found on slide 18. During the quarter, the Oriente Tunnel project secured financial closure for its second phase with 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos, enabling the activation of all construction fronts and existing debt prepayments. Financing includes participation from Bancolombia, Grupo Aval, Financiero de Desarrollo Nacional, and Davivienda, with a sustainable credit tranche. To date, the concession has advanced in the preliminary activities agreed with the Antioquia government, such as social and environmental management and early works, including the foundations of the Sajonia II in Rio Negro and Bocaná II in Medellín. Financially, Odinsa reported solid results, driven largely by the higher valuation recorded through the equity method of the private equity fund due to the increased value of its assets from the second stage of the Oriente Tunnel. Consolidated revenues reached 275 billion Colombian pesos, representing a 40% year-over-year increase. EBITDA reached 194 trillion Colombian pesos, up to 45% year-over-year, and consolidated net profit rose to 175 billion Colombian pesos, up to 54% year-after-year. Odinsa's consolidated financial debt at the end of the third quarter was 248 billion Colombian pesos, reflecting a 12% year-over-year decrease. Of this total, 131 billion Colombian pesos correspond to Green Corridor and 117 billion Colombian pesos to Odinsa S.A. Notably, commercial papers issued by the company in 2024 were liquidated in August, so the company currently maintains a single debt at $30 million, maturing in 2029. Moving on to the operational results of slide 19, the road concession platform recorded daily transportation of 111,000 vehicles, which represents an increase of 5% in terms of units. Total traffic of passengers for the airport platform, detailed on slide 20, reached 13 million during the quarter, from which 11.7 correspond to El Dorado Airport. From its side, revenues and EBITDA of the platform, measured in dollars, grew 12% and 14% respectively, compared with the same period last year. From another side, as I previously mentioned, the creation of Desaguas marks the beginning of a new vertical for the company, leveraged in the developed capacity in terms of the road management concessions and airport concessions. The water platform will focus in two main fronts. First, in treating and reusing residual waters with the objective of reducing pressure over natural sources. Second, desalination of water for industries such as mining, in countries which have a high water stress. In this framework, we signed a contract for the acquisition of Tixa in Mexico for an approximate value of $84 million. This is an operation which closure is estimated for the first quarter of 2026, and that is mainly subject to regulation approvals in Mexico. Tixa has more than 40 years of experience, has presence in more than 20 states and 160 constructed plants, with an EBITDA that's close to $29 million for 2024, consolidating a platform that can be scaled up and that has the necessary know-how in order to replicate the Odense model in terms of infrastructure. I need to emphasize also that this is a first incursion that will allow the construction of an investment platform for water infrastructure that will be of larger scale. The payment sources of the Tixa acquisition initially are considered as internal with the Odense's portfolio without the need of going into additional structural debt. The 5th of November, the Quito Airport, Keyport, made a successful operation of debt restructuring where they brought the cost of their indebtedness from 12% to 8.7% annually, which will allow to carry out a cash out close to $120 million in 23.25% of those resources correspond to Odense. Additionally, in Opain, reserve accounts will substitute it for credit accounts, which will allow to release cash for close to 160 billion Colombian pesos to Odense. And the private capital fund with Macquarie has 32.5% of these resources. Finally, there is the possibility of extracting an important cash from Pacifico Dos and refinancing Tixa as soon as the transaction is closed. With these sources, Odense has the necessary resources to pay this investment without increasing its structural indebtedness and without requiring to Grupo Argos contributions. Depending on the moment that these operations will happen, there will probably be a treasury operations with bridge-type indebtedness. Now, I want to invite you to move on to look at the Pactia results. Gross revenues of Pactia were 113 billion Colombian pesos, which represents a drop of 9% year after year. The EBITDA for the quarter was 57 billion Colombian pesos, which represents a down of 16% year over year. However, on the same asset basis year to date, gross effective income and EBITDA grew 6% compared to 2024. Let's remember that there was an important asset disinvestment that allowed to reduce the leveraging and retribute the shareholders. At the period end, the non-hotel portfolio occupancy was 93%, an increase of 202 basic points versus the previous quarter. During the year through September 2025, contracts for 97,000 square meters were renewed, and new contracts for 45,000 square meters were placed. Compared to the third quarter of 2024, the retail sector registered the highest growth in gross effective income, up to 8%, followed by the office sector, with a 5% increase in the retail sector. In the retail sector, brand sales per square meter grew 10% year over year, while foot traffic remained stable. The fund continues its active management to optimize its capital structure. Over the last 12 months, Pactia has reduced its debt stock by 17%, closing the period with a loan-to-value ratio of 30%, a decrease of 376 basic points compared to the same period last year. Now, I want to invite you to look at the figures of the urban development business found on slide 19. In the third quarter, the business reported revenues for 48 billion Colombian pesos, up 50% year-over-year, accumulating revenues for 2025 that reached 102 billion in cash. In July, two purchase agreements were signed for 110 billion Colombian pesos. 14 billion have been received from these deals to date. By year-end, another 40 billion is expected to be received, and the deeds for both transactions will be signed, positively impacting fourth quarter results. As if we don't sign the deeds, the revenues won't be entered into the accounting system. These advances, combined with other ongoing deals, allow us to anticipate a favorable year-end for the urban development business, with results exceeding 2024 both in the income statements and in cash flow. Now let's move on to slide 26 to analyze consolidated debt evolution. With the inflow of cash from the U.S. disinvestment, the group's consolidated net debt has been negative since February 2025, meaning the company currently has more cash than debt, a clear demonstration of the financial strength and flexibility Grupo Argos holds to execute its strategy in the future. Standalone net debt detailed on slide 28 closed the quarter at 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos, excluding the 493 billion Colombian pesos received this month for the Cementos Argos share buyback. The company maintains a leverage level that preserves a broad financial flexibility to execute its corporate strategy. This strength is confirmed by the affirmation of the highest credit rating by both Fitch Ratings and S&P Global, underscoring the company's ability to develop its new infrastructure-focused strategy. Before closing, we want to highlight that Grupo Argos was recognized by Merco as the conglomerate with the best reputation in the country for the sixth consecutive year, ranking sixth overall, its best historical position. This is in addition to the AA rating received in October by MSCI ESG rating, placing us at leader levels and above the industry average. Also, the highest rating Grupo Argos has received since the rating agency began evaluating us. These milestones confirm Grupo Argos' commitment to sustainable development in all the countries where we operate. Our reputation and sustainability are not only recognition but a competitive advantage, supporting the financial results we have just reviewed. Thank you all for your presence, and let me give the word to Carolina Arango so she can help us coordinating the Q&A sessions and questions, thoughts, or queries that you might have. We have Grupo Argos Parque officials available for any questions, thoughts, or comments that you might have.
Thank you, Jorge. First question comes from Simón Dandoño, Valores Bank, Colombia. First of all, thank you for the presentation, and the question goes as follows, asking about the upcoming steps relating with the Odisea Aguas consolidation after knowing about the TICA acquisition. He's asking which will be the upcoming targets.
Well, let me take the floor at the beginning of the conversation, and afterwards, I can give the word to Mauricio so he can help me complement the answer. As we were previously explaining, TICA is a first investment in one of two segments that we have defined as strategic for developing a robust, strong, and representative platform in water use, treatment, and reuse. That's the case of TICA.
Etixa, as we previously mentioned, has its 10 treatment and reusage plants located in several states of Mexico. The other vertical, that's desalinization, has not yet started its capital deployment nor its construction. To speak about the strategy that we have defined, and I want to be clear on this. We want to go into the water business because of two reasons. Those two points of the water value chain, desalinization and treatment and use, are segments that have very important growth, growths that actually are over the country's GDPs, which have the need of capital, of private capital investments that are considerable in Latin America and in the world. This is a business that's more important as years pass by. If you look at the business, it's very similar to the road or airport infrastructure. These are businesses that are regulated, which have predictable due dates, mainly dollarized, and which have a few players within the region. The fundamentals of contractual stability and growth complement perfectly the strategic capacities that Odinsa has developed in these types of businesses. In order to answer the question of where are we headed towards, let me start and give the word to Mauricio afterwards. We will be following a step-by-step, but a firm step-by-step in order to build the platforms that will allow us, once we get into this business, build greenfield or brownfield businesses. If you think about this, it's more or less the same strategy that we have developed by Odinsa in terms of airports and roads. When we acquired Odinsa between 2015 and 2016, we began with a series of assets that we started organizing, standardizing, leaving aside those that didn't have a seat, and building platforms with which we have been growing. This just to give a framework, a strategic framework that I consider important because what we're doing in Dixa is a relevant move for us. It's an operation with a very nice and complete company, but this is the beginning of the building blocks for a much more complex platform. Let me turn the floor to Mauricio.
Thank you, Jorge, and thank you, Simon, for the question. I think Jorge Mario was very broad in his explanation, but I would add three additional elements. First, that perimeter between Mexico, Peru, and Chile initially are places where there's a double, a simultaneous condition. There's scarcity and high industry investment. Dixa, besides contributing credentials that we're looking for, besides the assets, which are 10 operational plants, which have the possibility of representing a growth over the volume of what they're generating today, is located in one of the countries where there's a strong water stress in order to keep on developing that industrial zone of the U.S.-Mexican border. Simultaneously, there's a plan led by the Mexican government in nine strategic zones from which CENCE has presence in three, with plants that we have been operating since some time now. We will be in a condition where we could support, in terms of water issues, the relocation or expansion of that industrial park that wants to be developed by Mexico. That's one element. Dixa contributes with credentials and experience, but also has a broad administrative portfolio. Second important thing to say is that effectively, the water plan, water management, and more particularly, the desalinization process are strategic within this same perimeter. There's a conversion between private capital interested in the public agenda and politics, and the need of those that require a growth expansion. So we're seeing within this first step, as what Germán here notes, a Mexican location. Once we close that transaction, that as we said, we're expecting to be closed in the first quarter next year, and grow from Mexico towards Latin America in terms of water treatment. Pretty surely, decentralization that we're still studying and researching, we've found a broad interest and a great need in Chile. We had the occasion of sharing this with some of you previously, mentioning that the development of the mining industry and the expansion of that level of production requires non-continental water in order to support the project's growth. And currently, we are studying in detail the expansion of these mining companies and working with some of them in order to identify opportunities and trying to understand if this would make sense or not. So these are the two elements, treatment and desalinization, and that geographic perimeter that I previously mentioned, but that a great possibility of counting with the necessary capacity, with the experience, with the credentials, and with an asset portfolio that's currently operational. So it's a strategy, but that's the first step. But that's just the first step of an upcoming steps that are being studied and researched that will allow us for the next 3 years to get involved in this dynamic of growth that since now we anticipate it will be a platform that will be equal to what we have in terms of roads and airports. Thank you, Mauricio, and thank you, Simon, for your question. The upcoming question is coming from Santiago Villanueva from Corredores, asking for more detail of the Parque's EBITDA drop. Well, we briefly mentioned this while we were going over the slides. We basically need to compare equivalent assets because there was an important asset disinvestment in order to reduce leveraging and in order to have retribution possibilities for the shareholders, as I mentioned. But I don't know if Andres maybe wants to give us a bit more light on this EBITDA comparison between both periods. Perfect, Jorge. Good morning to you all. The additional data that could be useful for this is that in this, the disinvestment area was around 12% of the rentable square meters of the fund. And this obviously has a conclusion, or as a result, sorry, a drop in the EBITDA. But when we compare the EBITDA in the right form, we have a healthy growth. Well, yes, I would add that maybe if I'm right, the preform growth between both periods is about 6%. When you delete that distortion due to the square meters, and as Andres was mentioning, we're speaking about 138,000 square meters that were reduced. This has an important effect in terms of the financial expense reduction of the fund, which net profit grows close to a 59%. Maybe, for being completely sure, I don't know if Juan Esteban Mejia maybe has accessible the exact figure, but the effect that we see, it's explained because of that, but the resource use allowed to reduce the leverage, retribute the shareholders, and significantly improve net profit. Yes, Jorge, let me just contribute with two additional comments. Just remember that in the case of Bakia, part of the logistics business was sold, and we also sold part of the mini warehouses. These were sales that were close to 450 billion Colombian pesos, and in terms of EBITDA, represented an EBITDA of around 30 billion Colombian pesos. So And so in a certain way, that pro form mentioned by Andrés is being affected, and that's why we have those EBITDA differences. We could be speaking about 180 billion Colombian pesos, that according to the budget we had, also represents an increase of what we had initially. Well, we may be extended in this answer, but it was worth, I believe, the fact is net profit up to date this year has been very positive, as Jorge mentioned. During the quarter, we closed with 79 billion Colombian pesos of net profits. This is an increase of 59% compared to the same period in 2024. In terms of this year, we have a net profit of 250 billion Colombian pesos, which is basically doubling the profit reached in the first two quarters of last year. So deleveraging strategy has been highly successful. Jorge, the next question comes from Santiago from Corredores. He's asking if we could drill down into more detail in the non-recurring effect of 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos that we mentioned. Alejandro, maybe if you want to answer this one.
Well, let me start by the 1.6. That's the pro forma consolidated result. But based on Jorge's presentation, we have two values, 1.6 and 3.2, and these are comparable also with 3.2 that we find separated. Let's start there with this consolidated results of 1.6 billion. Basically, two main components of this 1.6 billion Colombian pesos, 450 billion Colombian pesos, is what we had of the income that was part of the Grupo Sura's revenues. So part of this decision, we delivered this participation, and in a certain way, this involves that we have to do a devolution of this 450 billion Colombian pesos. The other value in the consolidated figures is close to 1.32 trillion Colombian pesos, which basically has to do with the reclassification of the Grupo Sura investment with the participation method, but more specifically, due to the currency conversion that we had in Grupo Sura. So that reclassification to norms needs to appear in the state of results, and that is the value that we see of 1.32 billion Colombian pesos. But there's a negative value, that's 47 billion Colombian pesos around. That's the valuation of the investment measurement by reasonable value. That in our specific case, in terms of consolidated figures, has a loss of 47 billion Colombian pesos. So in a certain way, here we could see the main figures that explain that 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos. Now, let me speak about the separate figures. Why do we have 3.2 trillion Colombian pesos in this separate result? The revenue recognition by the Grupo Sura spin-off generates a revenue of 2.7 trillion Colombian pesos. And the main reason is that in the consolidated and the separate results in the ledger information, we had the shares of Grupo Sura, which were around 38,000 Colombian pesos, and basically the transaction, let's remember, that was made by a value of 54,824 Colombian pesos. And this is what basically explains this 2.7 trillion Colombian pesos. And besides that, this 450 billion Colombian pesos that also needs to be reflected in the separate results, product of the return of this deferred tax associated to a control exit. This is the two main figures that explain this 3.2 trillion Colombian pesos. Thank you, Jorge. And we have a final question from Credicorp. Why there was a net loss in the real estate business for the third quarter if the operational results, if the operational profit was positive?
Thank you, Maria Clara. This is mainly explained by deferred
tags. It happens that the Papa's land lot was held as investment property, and as it's been developed, it becomes inventory. So instead of being an occasional gain, when it's sold, is this basically explains this going from 10 to 33. That's provisioning since now, but does not have to do with any cash effects. Let me take the opportunity, Mario, if we could announce this, if this is a temporary effect on the business, both for the P&L as in cash, but the close projection is very positive in both things, both in terms of cash as well as in terms of P&L. I want to tell the audience a little bit about the effects that lead to these distortions in the first quarter, and how do we project the closure. Perfect, we already announced that in July we signed a couple of purchase sale promises, but that has not yet been reflected in the P&L, because as Jorge was explaining, we can only record this in the P&L once we have the legal documents. And this is added to other businesses that are ongoing that we're also finalized during the fourth quarter. We want to have a similar end of year or even higher than 2024. In terms of that temporality that you were speaking of, in terms of CapEx that has been higher in this moment, it happens because versus last year we wanted to start works earlier in order to avoid rainy seasons that happens further down in the year. So there is an earlier execution in 25 than in 24, but we will close the year normalized compared with 2024. Also, the landlord taxes have increased, particularly in Barranquilla. This happens every 5-6 years, and it happened last year. And besides this, the rates also grow. So we also see a very important impact in that line. Well, yes, thank you. I don't know if there's any additional questions, Carolina. No, that would be the end of today's questions. So perfect. We would like to thank you for your company, for your questions. We want to reiterate that we have our team here completely available for anything that you might need. Anything that you need or require, just let us know. Thank you very much, and have a nice day.